spent looking at the different people around Jesus, and when they either were told about the coming of Christ or were told about the birth of Christ, we saw how they reacted. We saw the worship that came forth from them, from Mary and from Zechariah and from the angels and from Simeon. Well, this morning we're going to talk about who is this child who was born? It's not news necessarily to many of us this morning, but I pray that it will strengthen our faith as we look to the Scriptures and see who is this Christ that the angels foretold and announced. Who is this Christ that all heaven and earth just declared and shouted and proclaimed, He is born, He is born, He is born. Who is this Christ? Will you turn with me, please, to the book of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. And this morning, we will study the first 14 verses. This is John's telling of the coming of Christ. He doesn't do it in a birth narrative like Luke does. He's speaking theologically what has happened. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is God's Word. This is John's telling of the coming of Christ. And it describes the Word, calls Jesus the Word. And the Word, God Almighty, takes on flesh. John then describes who Jesus is. And he begins with Jesus all the way back in the very beginning of creation. There's a little bit of chronology that happens through this passage here. And first, in chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, John tells us and declares, Jesus, who is He? He is God. Jesus is God. This is not the birth of a prophet or a wise man or a cool man or a crazy man or a political leader or a religious leader or a military leader. This is God Almighty. The title of the slide there is very intentional. The Word takes on flesh. He doesn't do away with His divinity to become a man. It's such a strange thing for us. How can Jesus be both fully God and fully man at the same time? And one of the reasons why I think that's hard for us to imagine is we look at us and we our skin and we know the frailty of our own bodies and the limitations of our own selves and who we are, and we say, how can someone who's a man become God? Well, it's not the way it happened. We're looking at it backwards. God took on flesh. Is anything too big for God? Yes, it is a great mystery that within the body of Christ resided a man and God. But it's what the Scriptures declare. He is fully God and fully man in Christ. John brings us back to the very beginning of time, and he purposely echoes Genesis 1, chapter 1. In the beginning, God. Genesis 1, chapter 1. That's how the Bible begins. Now in John chapter 1, John says, in the beginning was the Word. And so already he's drawing a comparison there between the Word and God, right? By making those in the beginning, making it parallel to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. But he's not just going to leave us with that parallel there to make us think, gee, is John saying that the Word here, who is Jesus, is God? That's sort of a loose connection there. He comes out and states it explicitly. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Jesus is God. And we see another snapshot of this in Daniel chapter 7, where we see the Ancient of Days, God Almighty, sitting on a throne ruling. And it says, one like a son of man came up to the Ancient of Days. And the one like a son of man stood in front of God, and the one like a son of man received all worship. He's God. And the Ancient of Days is God. I know it's confusing for us. There are not two gods. There is one God represented and shown forth in three people, three persons. God the Father, God the Son, we see both of those talked about here. God the Spirit talked about elsewhere in Scripture. Matthew 28, verse 20, the end of Matthew 28, there, the last verse of Matthew. Jesus is God. He wasn't created when He was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. He always was. He was there at creation, John tells us. He has always existed and will always exist because Jesus is God. We see in verses 3, in verse 3, 4, and 5 here too, that Jesus as God was in creation. He created all things. Without Him, nothing was made that's been made. He's not a part of God. He's not a God among many gods. He is Almighty God. Who is Jesus? He is God. Next, John tells us that Jesus' coming is announced. Now, Jesus' coming, and we talk about this a lot, was announced all throughout Scriptures, right? Starting way back, the first time we can clearly see it, really, is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, right after the fall, when God is pronouncing judgment on the serpent and on Eve and on Adam, and says to the serpent, Eve's seed, so a descendant from Eve, will crush you, Satan, though you will strike his heel. It's already there talking about from the line of Eve, she'll have a descendant who is Jesus, who will fight the battle with Satan, the serpent, and destroy, kill the serpent. Though the serpent will strike at the descendant of Eve. Referring to Jesus' crucifixion there. And all throughout Scripture, we've talked about many times, and we'll continue to talk about them. The predictions, the prophecies, the announcements, the declaration. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. And now, John in his Gospel here tells us that God sent a messenger, a herald, an announcer before Jesus to declare, He's right here. He's right here now. All you've been waiting for is about to come. He's here. And it's John the Baptist he refers to in verse 6 through 9 here. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify. And you know, you've heard this described before too, that when a king would come riding through, you'd send a herald on ahead to announce, the king is coming, the king is coming, the king is coming. so everyone could, you know, mow their lawns and pick up their trash and, you know, hang banners and streamers and put on their finest clothes and get out in front and wait for the king to walk by because you wanted to see the king. So John the Baptist goes ahead and says, the king is coming, the king is coming, the king is coming. And he announces the coming of Jesus. John then goes on to say, Jesus was God. Jesus is God. Jesus is king because he's being announced. And Jesus is man. Fully man. Verses 10 and 11 here. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came. He came to that which was his own. He was born among his people, but they failed to receive him. Jesus Christ was born. He was born as a man. Because he was going to the cross. He was going to offer himself as a sacrifice for us, for our sins. Not for the sins of pigeons, not for the sins of ants, the sins of humanity. And so he was born as a human, lived the perfect, sinless life, which none of us ever have, so that he could offer himself as the sacrificial lamb, the lamb without blemish, without spot, without imperfection, offered himself as a sacrifice in our place. So he was fully man to go to the cross and die for us. And yet we rejected him. He didn't nail his own hands to the cross. He didn't rip his own back. We did. He didn't go to the cross because it was a slow day and there was nothing to do. He didn't go to the cross because he had committed a crime. He didn't go to the cross because he was cursed by God. He went to the cross because we rejected him. Because we hated him. We looked upon him and said, we hate you, Christ. We hate you, God. So Jesus had to go to the cross to pay for our sins. He came and we rejected him, mocked him, doubted him, belittled him, scorned him, beat him, and killed him. Well, this Jesus who is God, this Jesus who is declared and announced by John the Baptist and showing him to be king, this Jesus who is man, this Jesus is our only salvation. Verses 12 through 14. To all who receive him, all those who rejected him, who now come and receive him, to those who believe in his name, God gives the right to become children of God. You know how hard it is when someone hurts you to forgive them? You know how hard it is when your child just rebels against you, or when someone that you love or care about just hurts you and rejects you? You know how hard it is to forgive and to feel compassion towards them. Imagine this. This is what God has done with us. He made us. We said, I don't care. You're not my daddy. And then he sent his son to show us how much he loves us. And we said, fine, we're going to kill him. And God now says, if you believe in me, I'll make you my child. I'll wipe away your sins. I'll forgive you. And you will be mine. I will adopt you as my child, my precious child, my love. I will save you. I will make you born again. But God, I've been so evil, I've rejected you. I know. Well, God, let me just try to make things right first, and then I'll come to you. God says, you cannot make things right. Think about what you've done. You cannot make things right with me. You can't be good enough. That's why you have to believe in me, and I will make you right. Not because of anything you can do, but because of the work that the Word of God, Jesus, did by dying on the cross. Therein lies salvation, redemption, reconciliation with God, eternal life, being made born again, being adopted as a child of God, brought into right relationship with God Almighty by belief. Belief. God offers His salvation. Well, God stands before us today. He is here in our presence. He is declaring to us that He is God and He is man. He is the King of Kings and He is the suffering servant, and He is the only way of salvation. How do we respond to Him? He calls us and invites us. Oh, that we would see how shocking that is, that He invites us to receive Jesus, to believe in Jesus and be saved. Not just once, not just, oh, I did that in 1972, April 3rd. I'm glad. I pray you did. Wonderful. But today, here and now, to receive Him and to believe in Him. Christ is God. Christ was born a man. Christ died on the cross, rose again, and is coming again. Christ is our King. And He receives us. He receives us by grace. When we believe. When we believe. So today, brothers and sisters, as Christ stands before you as the risen Lord, the returning Savior coming again, He invites you and says, I know you sinned. I know you rejected me. I died on the cross to pay for all that. Will you receive me now? Will you believe me now? Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for Jesus. Would you please lock it more and more securely into our brains and into our hearts, into our souls, that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, left the glory of heaven to come down and be born to die. All because of my sin. And may we humbly believe in Christ. Believe in His work on the cross. How amazing, God, that Jesus' work gets applied to us when I just believe. Help us to receive Christ and believe today. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.